We all have been serving for a long time on Ephesians 4 Network Council and Board, and I don't know anyone more busier than your pastor, and what a ministry he has. And for him to call me, I appreciate that so very much. And he knows I like to sing. He knows that I sing. And I said, well, Pastor, give me a time frame so I don't overextend myself and they'll never invite me back. He said, just sing and bless them with the word and they'll be happy and I'll be blessed. They'll be blessed. And I agreed to that, knowing that he would give me all the flexibility that I would need. Now, I want to take time to introduce some of my music, because when we reproduced the CDs, we didn't put the CD labels on the outside. So you have to open them up until you see it on the inside. It's on the inside of the CD. And God's Gonna See You Through was written by Mike Murdock. Pour Your Healing Oil Through Me is written by Mike Murdock. God Rides on the Wings of Love was written by Brother Murdock. He sowed seed into my life and ministry after he had heard that our oldest son had died in a deer hunting accident. And so the CD that's titled God Is Gonna See You Through by Gene Kennett has two pictures on it. And the one, of course, you'll recognize as me, a little bit younger. but our oldest son is Gene Jr., and we wanted to pay a tribute to him as a memorial. Everything that we benefit goes to World Missions or a project that we have in ministry. And God blesses Brother Murdock for providing the music tracks, and he blesses you for sowing a seed into the ministry by taking one of the CDs. Now, Jesus Will Outshine Them All has old hymns, Supper Time, In the Garden, He's Coming Soon, and Because He Lives. And that Dottie Rambo song, He Looked Beyond My Faults and Saw My Needs, to the tune of Old Danny Boy. And then I have an announcement I want to make, because I want prayer. Let's pray for all the people at the church in Erie, because 10 inches of snow fell yesterday, and I had to dig my way out to leave. And I was counting the miles and the minutes the closer I got to Painesville, Ohio, and Mentor to take 271 to go south. As soon as I made that turn off of I-90, no more snow, just dusting on the mountaintops. And the further south into Columbus, no snow at all. So thank God for that. And I have sent text message after text message to my friends that I ran out of the snow, thank God. Thank God. Now, once this service is over today, and I know we're going to be live streaming, but once this service is over today, I have to punch in that GPS to get me out of this little town, this big town, so that I can get on the right road north. And all the while I'm traveling north, I want you to know that I don't need snow to deer hunt, bless God. I can deer hunt without snow, but I hear that from all the newscasters. The hunters are going to be happy because we have more snow. Well, let me tell you, the older I get, the less snow I need to hunt in. It will help you to see the animals, but I don't really need that. And yet I appreciate the hunters that need that skill. They still want to track them accordingly. You like that? You like hunting?
Oh, yeah.
You like the snow? Yeah. So my name is Gene Kennett, and I come from a little town south of Erie, Pennsylvania, south of I-90, and I'm in a snow belt. I want you to know that I am. If the water is warm and the air is cold, we're going to get lake effect snow. And last year we set the record of the snowfall in all the United States. Yeah, brother, we had feet of snow. And when it got to 8 feet, I quit counting. But I love God, and I love ministry, and I love Ephesians 4 Network, the great fellowship, and that's how I met your pastor, his brother Gordy, and the family, and aunts and nieces. And now there's other children. What's going on here? My phone is ringing. It's not supposed to be. All right, so let's just do it that way. And I'll put it to mute. It should be on mute. Okay. Anybody else have a cell phone? You go ahead and do the same thing I just did. And after meeting them, I learned that they like to hunt, they like to fish, and they like to have youth camp, and they enjoy the fellowship at conference. And I have seen this building many times from the outside more than from the inside, and down in the dining room. Are we live streaming yet, brother? All right. And I want to tell everybody who is listening that when time came for me to be the missions director for the conference missions director, I had already been invited to be here and knew that I was going to be here. And then I had a call from some missionaries. And I'll never forget Pastor Butch inviting the missionaries to come to an outside picnic that we were having. We weren't having a service, but we were having a picnic. And at that picnic, the missionaries talked about missions, and he expressed his heart for Israel. And I have learned to appreciate so much Global Explosion, his ministry for world missions, and especially Israel. And his heartbeat is Israel. Thank God for that. And every message he preaches, he's going to say something about what the Word of God teaches concerning Israel. And I've learned to respect that. Now, in some of the songs today, I'll be singing. I'll sing some of the older songs that Daddy taught us. My grandfather was a Missionary Baptist circuit riding preacher and a stonemason by trade. There were some months that he visited as many as five churches and would have to navigate the mountain ranges, or either by horseback, or when cars finally came, by car. And there are churches today that are dedicated in his honor because he actually helped to physically build them in Southwest Virginia. And then my dad was a Bible teacher in the Methodist Church. I think this building has some history that I remember in the church down home that was a First Methodist unit before it became United Methodist Church. And Dad was a Bible teacher, and he was a choir director, and my grandfather was a choir director. Now, I have three brothers, and when we're together, we sing. If we only have three, we are a trio. If Dad was there, or we have the fourth brother who lives in South Texas, then we have a quartet. And sometimes Mommy would join in. So that old country gospel song, Daddy sang bass and Mommy sang tenor. Well, I sing tenor. Mom sang soprano. Older brother sang bass, and younger brother sings to the glory of God. And he'll say, "What part are you going to take?" I said, "Whatever part you don't take." And he will sing and harmonize, and he has a wonderful lead and baritone voice. And we just praise God for all that he has given us. And I believe if we have a heritage in the Kennett family, it would be music and singing to the glory of God. And so many of the tracks that we'll sing from today will be tracks that will be faith building. And so before we open the Word, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of worship this day. Truly, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. We thank you for faith, faith that comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, whether it's in song, whether it's from a teacher, being prophesied from a prophet, or a preacher that would be evangelizing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word speaks to us through Mother Nature and through the testimonials of others, and our faith grows. And let it be that this day many will find a touch of healing, will be strengthened in their inner being and mind and spirit and body. Father, we thank you that not one soul will be lost, but everyone will be added to the kingdom of God because of their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Bless this congregation here at the Church of the King in Ironton, Ohio, and bless the fruit of the pastor and the ministry of the pastor, Brother Butch Deer. Heavenly Father, in your name, bless each one of these who have fellowshipped with us today, that we will exalt your name above every name and continue to pray one for another and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And everybody said, amen. In the word of the Lord, let us turn in the New Testament and see what the Apostle Paul has to say concerning faith. In Romans, the 10th chapter, and beginning around the 10th verse, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I'm reading from the New Scofield translation of the King James Version. For the Scripture says, "Whosoever believes on him will not be put to shame." And verse 12 says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'd like for you to quote that with me, or read that out loud with me. Verse 13. Whatever translation you have, it's going to mean the same. Just read it out loud. "For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." As a boy, I grew up in a home that my mommy and daddy believed in having a devotion before going to bed and retiring in the evening. If you were visiting our home with any member of our family, and often there would be school friends who would be there, or relatives, Dad would say, "It's time for our devotion." And he would appoint one of us to open the Bible and turn to a certain scripture, and we would have the scripture. We would then have prayer. And then he would take the guitar and begin to sing, and we would all join in, and that would be our quiet time and our time of prayer and devotion just before retiring to go to bed. Today, it's a sad thing that not many homes in America take that time with their family and friends, the Word of God, the fellowship of the saints, and giving thanks to the Lord for what He has done for us and for what He is doing for us and what He shall continue to do for us. And how many know what He's done for others He'll do for you? Stuart Hamlin sang that song years ago after a Billy Graham crusade, and he penned the words, "It is no secret what God can do." Now, I've chosen this morning a few scriptures and a few songs. I don't call it preaching. I don't really call it teaching. Not like the kind of teaching you're used to with Brother Butch taking us into the Greek or the Hebrew especially and breaking down the scripture and understanding it for us and then given it to us. I love his teaching. But I'm sure that everyone will agree with me, to be saved, you have to have faith in God. And it's good to get faith. And we'll read a few more scriptures, but I think at this time I'm going to ask Brother Terry to start that CD and let me sing to the glory of God a couple of songs. Amen. I know we're going to turn to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Well, I'll sing now. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God is close. They're singing, and the melody that he gives to me within my heart is ringing. Sing it with me. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. It's an old one, but it's a good one. Amen. To the glory of God. Your mother's favorite. And your grandmother's favorite. And my mother's favorite is that one and the next one. So let me sing that one. To the glory of God. Take you back a few years. Many years ago, in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come, and winding down an old familiar path, I heard my mother call at set of sun. In visions Now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The table ready in heaven. It's supper time.
Supper time.
The pot, the golden shore.
Come on, let's sing.
Come home.
Come home.
Come home. It's supper time. The shadows linger. Come home,
come home,
come home. It's supper
time. Supper time.
We're going
home.
It's supper time at last. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In the book of Romans, I want you to turn with me to the 8th chapter and hear what the writer says concerning us being conquerors. And let's go to the ...37th verse. Romans 8:37. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, to understand this clearly, we need to go back and read the earlier verses. And there you would understand what he's talking about here in verse number 37. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. He's not through. Nor height, nor death, nor any other created thing or creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you go up to verse number 31, he says this: what then shall we say of these things? And he talked about different trials and heartaches and difficulties that a believer might encounter along life's way, or an unbeliever might encounter along life's way. And he says this: if God be for us, who can be against us? Now that'll preach in any church. You just don't hear it anymore. We hear so much about doom and gloom, and hard trials will soon be over. Then we're going to wear a crown. I used to sing that with a quartet. And it's a good song. It's a faith-building song. It excites me and lifts me up. I remember an old hymn in our church down home in Southwest Virginia in a coal mining camp where I was born. Hey, something else about today. Not only devotion in your family, but devotion in your personal life. It's very important. And I hadn't been saved long. I was converted at an early age, a preteen. And my brother Ronnie, who had the paper route for the holler, oh, we might have had 3,000 at one time. And then as the coal mining industry began to work out, people would move out of the holler. And some people don't understand up north when I talk like this, but you understand. You know a little bit about coal mining and drilling gas and drilling oil and having to transport it and having to ship it. Well, the coal industry was the same way. The locomotive would go up the holler, and they'd load it up, and they'd pull it out of the holler. But one day, my dad said, "Son, you will be in church Sunday morning." And I remember that so clearly. I hear it in my head again. We didn't have an option to church. If they had Wednesday night service, we went to church. If they had Sunday night service, we went to church. And one of the problems in America today is we're forgetting the assembling of ourselves together. "Well, I'm too busy." I've heard every excuse under the sun. And when I first went to Erie, Pennsylvania as a pastor, I knew that I'm pastoring a heartbreaking, grieving congregation because their pastor had deceased in an automobile accident. His mother-in-law in the same accident. His father-in-law was a superintendent of a conference, and he was critically injured in the same accident. And after they screened some 100 ministers, they kept calling me, and, "Brother Gene, they really want you to come." I'd been there as an evangelist, you see. I'd been there as a singer. And I believe that they were genuinely feeling that I could bring comfort, or I could come and help the grieving. I could come and help build. They already had a television ministry and a radio ministry and a ministry of evangelism and a ministry of missions. But when difficulties come, sheep scatter. They scatter if they don't have a leader to help them. And that's why it's so critical that you follow the teaching of your pastor here, because he's going to teach you how to survive if someone else can't be here. You don't just close down and quit. God has his hand on others. And I'm believing with all of my heart that every time I come back henceforth, I'm going to see it continuing to grow just like it has grown before. But in Erie, I had a desire to go into the inner city and to go into the projects. And different ones were saying, "You shouldn't do this. If you do this, it's dangerous." And I attended a Billy Graham crusade back in the late 60s, early 70s. And I met a Dr. Charles Kennedy, who was a pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. And he was embarking upon writing a book on evangelism explosion. And he was teaching evangelism for those who would come and help sponsor the Billy Graham crusade. And so I was one of those, and it touched my heart. And I went back to the congregation and said, "We need to have an evangelism explosion ministry here." And one lady said, "Well, let's forego eating supper at home on Wednesday night, and you teach us on evangelism explosion." And everybody would bring a dish. You know what that's all about when you have your gatherings. And so we would eat and hurry. And go ahead and get our teaching done, and then get our assignment. And when you're first teaching people how to do personal evangelism, here's the way Dr. Kennedy said it: "I was ready to resign my congregation in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We didn't have many coming anymore. And I was telling my wife, 'You pack while I pray. God's going to move us.'" I've heard other preachers say that before. But listen to what happened. He finally came to a truce with God. "If I have one person that will let me train them in evangelism, I'll stay." Because he knew in his heart, in the New Testament, it's addition. It's addition. How many did we have when Jesus began his ministry? One. How many did he call? 12. How many did that make? 13. How many have ever read that he sent them out in pairs of twos? And how many were there? 70. See how it was growing? And the Bible says every town you go in, you bestow peace upon them. And if they refuse to accept the gospel message that you're sending, shake the dust from your feet. Don't take up camp with the ones that are not going to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And be loving and kind to all of those who are walking in sin. Because your light will shine and they'll see your good works and glorify the Father who's in heaven. And what will happen? On the day of Pentecost, there was about 120. A few days later, there's about 3,000. A baptismal service. A few days later, the house was shaken wherein they were assembled. Now there's over 5,000, the Bible says. It began to grow by leaps and bounds. We limit God when we let our mind and our lack of faith limit us. That's why I'm so encouraged with your pastor, because he said to me, he said, "Have you been back since we remodeled?" "Yes." "But I didn't get really to participate, except we had a gathering here." And I remembered that so well. And I sort of missed some of those gatherings, Brother Terry. I missed those days. And maybe there'll be another one soon. And I'll get invited to it. I don't have to preach and sing. I just like to eat. I like the fellowship. Yeah, you bet. I like that. And so we didn't have an option to attend church or not attend church. I know kids today that would say, "Well, I've got sport activities." Well, Dad understood that, but he also understood putting God first. Let me tell you, my brother had that paper route, and he didn't feel well one morning. And so Dad tapped me and said, "Eugene, you're going to have to go help your brother. You need to deliver these papers." And I'd just been saved, 12 years old. 12 years old. 13 years old, growing in the Lord, finding faith, singing, and now saying, "The Lord's called me to preach." Such a young age. I can't even imagine it now. I'm not going to begin to tell you how old I am. You get some of these CDs, you'll know how I sing some of the older songs, don't I? I grew up on them. Our hymnals were dog-eared, "I'll Fly Away," "When We All Get to Heaven." "Amazing Grace." "Great is thy faithfulness, O God." Glory to God. I love those old hymns. The new praise and worship songs that we have today are birthed and rocked in the cradle of love and sung by moms and dads who knew what it was to serve God. Walk away from sin. None of these things will defeat you. We're more than conquerors through Him. Who what? Who loved us. "So according to our faith, so shall it be unto us." Well, I'm getting close to the end of my route, pitching those papers on the front porch. And we literally lived in a holler. There was one creek. It ran cold all winter, all year long. Cold. Fish in it. Cold. Crawfish in it. Cold water. We had one hard surface road, and we had several dirt roads on each side of the mountain. And we had a Norfolk and Western Railroad that went up, loaded up, and then out. We didn't have a bus. By the time I got to be a teenager, no bus line ran up the holler anymore. Train didn't run up the holler anymore. But listen to what did. There was a house. It was called a Stevens home on this row of houses that all looked alike. And I'm getting close to throwing the newspaper on the front porch. And I hear a voice say, "And Lord, you know that other Kennett boy." You see, I had two older brothers. "That other Kennett boy, Lord. Lord, that other Kennett boy that's called to preach, Lord, keep your hand on him. Lord, I know you're going to use him." You can't help but serve God when you hear that. It stirred my heart. I wanted to do more for him than I'd ever done. Why? That little lady stood about as tall as under my arm, about like my grandmother. And she'd get happy in church, and she'd let out a praise to the Lord. And everybody knew that she was, if there was a saint anywhere, she was one of those that the Apostle Paul called saints. I wanted to go to youth camp one day. Had been planning it several months. It was going to cost $10 to go to youth camp. That provided your eats, your lodging. I didn't know how important it was that year. I go to youth camp having been saved, just confessed the Lord a few months. And I get to youth camp. But the way I got there was not because my daddy had it. The mines had been on strike. He had been injured. I wish I could help you, Eugene, but I can't. But you trust God, son. God will get you to youth camp. I know you want to go. And my neighbor was the Sunday school superintendent. I value Sunday school. I value the teaching that we get and the training in Sunday school. And though I was downstairs, I was hearing a whole lot of what you were saying, brother. Thank God for a teacher that'll stand and teach the Word of God. You'll get through that book of Genesis. You'll get through it. And it's got a lot of truth in it. Thank God it does. Amen? Sister Short had been the Sunday school superintendent for about 32 years. Two things I didn't understand about that lady. Her last name was Short. And there wasn't one person in her family. She had sons, and they were all over 6 feet. Her husband was over 6 feet. And she was almost 6 feet. I never understood that. A person could have such tall members of the family and the last name be Short. All right. So I was a young boy, you know. But she was our neighbor. And they were always giving us vegetables from the garden. Or milk. And I'll never forget when Mr. Short called me over as a little boy and wanted to teach me how to milk the cow. I put milk all over the ground. It was almost impossible for me to hit the bucket. But I stayed with it time after time until finally I could do that. What a witness. The other thing was she always had a prize to give to every young person who was in church. And she had a little sack that maybe flour came in or something, and she had washed it, and then she would always have gifts in there. I still have a silver dollar that she gave me on my birthday when I turned 11. I wasn't called to preach then. And reach in here, Gene, and you're going to get a gift from Sister Short. She loved young people. She said, you have to sow seed in the lives of young people, or else you'll not have a church of tomorrow. That was her faith. When she heard that I wanted to go to youth camp and was having difficulty raising funds, she offered me a job. Well, young people today don't think this way. They think mom and daddy have it. It grows on trees. It falls from the sky. Or somebody else is going to give it to me. But she offered me a job. She wanted me to use a push mower. Hello. I'm old enough to remember those. A push mower. And to cut her grass on the side yard. Both ends of the house. And when she saw that I did that pretty quick, she then asked me if I would take a look at the hillside behind the house. Now you talk about separating the men from the boys. That separated the men from the boys real quick. Because I went to my grandfather and I said, Grandpa, I need your help. He said, "And what's that, Gene? You're strong. What's your project?" I said, "Sister Short wants me to cut all those weeds on the back hillside behind the house." Now, to me, it looked like 5 acres. But when you go back there now, it really wasn't 5 acres. But the weeds were this tall, brother. You can't push a mower through it. It's on a hillside like this. You can hardly stand up on it. And she said, "Eugene, Sister Short is going to help you go to youth camp. You cut my grass and do as much as you can to mow the hillside." Well, I went to the right person because Grandpa had a mowing side. He had one with a cradle on it that would knock the wheat down and pick it up and bundle it up. He said, "Gene, this is the one you need up there. Those are old weeds. They're not any good anyhow." Said, "Just knock them down. I'm going to show you, and I'll keep it sharp. You bring it to me every evening after you're finished, and I'll resharpen it, because I know you. You're going to hit a lot of rocks, and it's going to be dull." And when I finished, at the end of a week, working after school hours, Sister Short called me to come over to the house. She said, "Gene, I hear they have a canteen on campus." I said, "Yes, ma'am. I hear that too. And I know how much you like your peanuts and your pop, soda pop. And I hear they have hot dogs and hamburgers sometimes." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I hear that too. But it costs $10 to go to camp." She said, "I know that. You've done a good job." And she handed me 10 $1 bills. And then she handed me $2.50 in change. And she said, "This is for the canteen. Don't spend it all the first time you go there, because you'd get those breaks." I learned something. I learned prayer works. I learned that faith works. I learned that being respectful to your neighbor works. I learned that being obedient to your parents works. And it's never quit working. It just keeps on working to the glory of God. You think I won't sing in the garden again? It was Grandma's favorite. It was my mother's favorite. And you sang every word with me. When I no more than started, y'all started singing it. That excites me. You don't know how many people say, "Brother Kenny, we'd like you to come and sing. Do you know any contemporary songs?" Yeah, I got some contemporary songs. But I cut my roots on these old songs. Let me sing these to the glory of God. Let's get one more scripture here, because I know we're streaming live, and maybe I need to quit preaching and going ahead and finishing what the Lord has. Somebody talking to me? Do what you got to do. Oh, I thought I heard the Lord speaking. "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Remember that? "How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written?" Oh, this is so good. Romans 10:15. "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Lord, who has believed our report? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't you like that? There's a song that talks about when I met the Master. I believe you have it set. And I think I want to sing that right now. "For by grace you are saved, and through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we have that faith. We have that grace extended to us. And it's God-given. There's other ways. I love this song. Uh-oh, that's a different one. I'll catch up with that. I'll catch up.
Feel like something good is about to happen.
I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that it'll open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus. And they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Now I've learned that all that happens you ought to praise Him.
Praise Him!
For I know He's working all things for my good.
For my good!
Every tear I shed is worth all the investment. For I know He'll see me through. He said He would. He has promised that either ear can hardly fathom all the things He has in store for those who pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be the very day. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Yes, I do. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that it'll all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus. And they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be the very day. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be. And sister, this could be. And brother, this could be that very day.
Well, give the Lord a clap offering.
You know what that Sister Short lady did? She said, Gene, every night at 8 o'clock, as the Lord lets me live, I promise to pray for you at 8 o'clock every night the rest of the days of my life. Do you hear me? I know this brother had heard me refer to this in my ministry before. The other day he said to me, he said, Preacher, you still singing and preaching? I said, my pulse is beating. I'm breathing. What's that tell you? I'm still singing. I'm still preaching. To the glory of God. And because Sister Short prayed for me all those years until she went home to be with the Lord. And I hope I can find a few here that'll also say, I'll be praying for you. We were in a Bible study prayer meeting the other night. How many know that house meetings are good? Yeah, yeah. I had a call from a doctor friend just a few minutes ago and wanted to tell me he couldn't attend the service, the house meeting today, if we were going to have it because he was very busy. But he hoped to see me this week. Well, that encourages a preacher. And when you call on them and they pray for you, don't forget to thank God for them and pray for them. If you're more than conquerors, we want to be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He'll make a way where there seems not to be a way for us every time. I'm going to leave you with this because when I start singing next, I want to just keep singing there for a bit. Timothy had an experience in his life, and Paul was a mentor. And as a servant of God, he began to write to Timothy in the first chapter of the second epistle of Timothy. And if you don't have time to turn it, and find it, then just jot it down. It's the first chapter of 2 Timothy. And I'm going to begin around verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. Without ceasing, I remembered you in my prayers night and day. What's happening? Praying for somebody. In my prayers, Timothy, I've been praying for you, greatly desiring to see you and being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. It's handed down. That's what's happened to the Kennett boys. Grandpa Kennett, his children, and our father. And I don't want you to think that it's just one-sided, but my mother's heritage, those Methodist churches built in his honor, repassed chapels. Why? He helped build them in communities that didn't have churches. That's a burden. That's a desire. What's going on? The church in Belpre is looking for land in Brazil to build a retreat center for missionaries and teams that will go in and minister in missions, because Pastor Rob and Kara have been there many times. And I mention this because I know many of you know who they are. And your pastor in Israel. And every time he goes, Gene, you going with me? I haven't been back to Israel since 1980. And I was pretty young then. Not as young as I am now. But I enjoyed it. I sang for a team that went to build a radio station. And it was going to air in Hebrew, in Arabic, in French, and in English. And I was privileged to sing some gospel songs, like I'm singing this morning. And it would be translated into the other languages. And that's the time that we're living in today. It's world evangelization more than it is having a revival in the local church. And I admire this ministry. Brother Terry and I were talking about it this morning when he sprang the good news on me that you're live streaming. My fingers have just been working overtime, telling my friends to check it out. Hallelujah. Check it out. And I know that God has put your ministry in my heart and in my life. And he says to Timothy, he says, in your mother and your grandmother, and it's in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul says, I remember laying hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit with which to fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Politically, our nation is at a crossroads. We have seen some wonderful things happen to solidify the Constitution that our founding fathers handed us. By getting like-minded judges on the Supreme Court. Whether you like or whether you dislike the president, you got to be thankful to God for these appointees. When I was growing up as a teenager called to preach, what would happen? One day, in the ninth grade in junior high school, the principal announced, no more devotions because we don't have anybody to lead in the devotion. We'd meet in the gymnasium, teachers, faculty, students. A thought for the day. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Dismiss. I went to his office and said, Mr. McGann, I'll do it. God's hand is on me. I know that. young man. He said, Eugene, I appreciate that. Come back in 2 weeks and we'll discuss it further. By the way, Eugene, I want you to know that I teach Bible in our adult class at our Presbyterian church in Bluefield. I went back exactly the time of the afternoon at 15 minutes after 2 o'clock. And Alma said, the receptionist, did Mr. McGann have an appointment with you? I said, yes, he did. 2 weeks ago, we made the appointment. Oh, I remember when you were here, Eugene. Let me tell him you're here. And when I went in, he said, well, Eugene, refresh my mind. And I did. Have you been praying about it? I have. That's from a principal. That's from a Christian, a God-fearing, believing. And we began to have devotions. Daddy wouldn't help me. No, Daddy said, you're on your own, son. You volunteered for it. God's called you. You seek him. My thought was Psalms 23. Simple thought. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm going to sing just a second. And then, let us stand and say the Lord's Prayer. The bell rang, and everybody dismissed to their classes. The principal was the last one at the door, other than me. And I'm thinking, boy, I messed up. I did something wrong. I know he's going to scold me. And he was a tall man, much like Abe Lincoln. Wore his glasses down on his nose most of the time, looked at you over them. He said, Eugene, you did a wonderful job. Boy, that excited me. But you got to be careful when people compliment you, because right behind that might be a but. And he said, now I want you to take this to heart, Eugene. He put his arm around me and drew me close to his side. He said, in the morning, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. That came from my principal in junior high school. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit was in that man to teach me the difference in saying something and praying something. And the rest of my days in high school were spent. The very next year, Madeline O'Hare was saying we ought to get rid of prayer in our public schools, get rid of Bible reading in our public schools. That principal called me in my senior year and he said, Eugene, I don't care what the state of West Virginia says we must do or must not do regarding prayer and Bible reading. I'm the principal of this high school and we're going to have Bible reading and devotions every morning that we have school. And we will pray. Thank God for a principal who had that stand. That's where America needs to get back to. We need to get back to there. Let me sing to the glory of God and build your faith, and then I'll let you go.
Lord, pour your healing all through me. Like a river of love, of love, pour your healing from above. Pour your healing all through me. Take the wound that I feel, Lord. Take the storm so real. Lord, help my heart believe. Take the days gone by, heal my memories now inside. Oh, your healing pour through me. Oh, your healing.
You're in need of a healing touch this morning. The Lord Jesus says, according to your faith, so shall it be unto you. Just lift your hand as others are lifting their hand. Believe the Lord for healing, either you or someone else that you're praying for. Send that word of faith to them by the prayer of agreement, Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Agree with your brothers and sisters here today with the word of God that he's pouring forth his healing oil, this very moment. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive it now, receive it now, receive it now.
Pour your healing oil through me.
Sing it with me. Pour your healing oil through me. Back pain must go. Pain in the legs must go. Kidneys must function. Cancer must cease. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are our chief physician. Father, I thank you. I thank you.
Like a river of love, pour your healing from above, pour your healing pour through me.
like a river of love, pour your healing from above. Say it.
Pour your healing.
Say it again.
Lord, pour your healing. Lord, pour your healing. Healing all through me.
I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Brother Terry, can I go to Because He Lives? Let's go to Because He Lives. We'll go there. I just felt to change it there for a moment. I want you to raise your hands. I was talking to you before service about some of the good old times that we've had here under Butch's ministry. Just raise your hand up there. I want you who are over here, look and see the light streaming, the sun coming in. And that was so beautiful when she had her hands raised and I was singing. And I just felt in my heart. I felt in my heart. The Lord was doing what she was praying for and answering. All right? That's the wrong one, Brother Terry. Maybe it's in the case wrong. I don't know, but it was Because He Lives. If we can find it, that's a beautiful song. But I really feel to stay here. And you know what's good for her is good for you. See, it's good for you, and it's good for you. When you cry at nighttime, He hears. He knows. He knows the tears. He understands. God's gonna see you through. God's going to bring forth everything you've agreed to in prayer. concerning this ministry, concerning their life. His hand is upon you. His hand is there. The prayer of agreement. Brother, I wish I had a church full of guys like you and you. I mean, one thing is to like to hunt. Don't tell me you like to fish too. Oh, yes. And come to church. Our brother out front, I said, now, anybody wants to take one of these CDs, they're going to be $15. Or if they want two, they can have two for $20. And then right there, I said, well, you might as well just let them have them. If they want one, they can have it for $10 or $10 a piece. But still makes two for $20. And it'll go to help me do more in missions for the glory of God. Amen.
God's going to see you through.
I said, God,
He's going to see you through.
God
is going to see you through.
I'll try that again. You don't have a doubt God can't conquer. You won't find a battle God can't win. So rise up today, be strong in your faith, that God is bringing victory again. I said,
God's gonna see you through.
I know God's gonna see you through. Through the flood, through the fire, through the storms and through the trials, God's
gonna see you through.
Everybody stand with me. God's gonna see you through. I know God's gonna see you through. Through the flood, through the fire, through the storms and through the trials, God's gonna see you through somehow, some way. God's gonna see you through. Amen. 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 Did we do everything we should have done? We didn't take an offering up? Well, nobody told me to receive an offering. See? I know preachers, you wouldn't dare let them in your pulpit to get an offering. How do you do that, brother? Do you pass the plate or do they bring it down? You'll do it up here? Yeah. I'm sure your pastors talk to you about tithes and offerings. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah. Y'all have Kroger's down here. You don't have Giant Eagle, do you, down here? I'm a member of that Giant Eagle club that you get free gas after you spend so much money.